Welcome to Politics Up Close on KCBW. I'm Jeff Robinson. After a career in the private sector that includes becoming one of the youngest attorneys belonging to a minority group to make partner at a major law firm in Utah, along with experience helping Utahns combat and avoid fraud, Sean Reyes is now hoping to become Utah's next attorney general. The Republican candidate has attracted supporters like former U.S. Attorney Brett Tolman and the chairman of Zions Bank to his campaign, where he's pledging to fight white-collar crime, unconstitutional federal mandates, and drug crimes. So where does the candidate stand on the important issues, and how does he plan to win what could be a tough contest within the Republican Party? Sean Reyes joins me now in the studio, and Sean, it's great to have you on the program.
Thank you so much, Jeff. Thanks for inviting me on. And good morning to all your listeners.
Yep, and listeners, you can join us with your questions and comments for Utah Attorney General candidate Sean Reyes. We're at 801-355-TALK. That's 801-355-8255. Well, Sean, what got you interested in running for Attorney General, and how long have you had your eye on this job?
Oh, I think it started back at the 2008 Republican National Convention. Attorney General Shurtleff mentioned at that time that he likely wouldn't seek re-election, and other people encouraged me to take a look at that opportunity. I didn't have any ambitions at that point. I had a very exciting law practice, very successful law practice at Parsons, Bailey & Latimer, was working on some of the state's and nation's largest cases, and I was flattered that people were interested in mentioning my name. Subsequently, about 2 years ago, it became, I think, even more apparent that Attorney General Shurtleff wasn't going to seek re-election. Mm-hmm. And it was about that time that my opponent was appointed into the office. Mm-hmm. And it was apparent to a number of people in the legal community that he was setting up for a run for Attorney General from within the office, and they started to approach me, people from the legal community, from the business community, and ask me again to consider running. And that's when I started to take a more serious look at it, and about a year ago started to do a little more exploratory work, getting out throughout the state, and realized at that time that it was something that I wanted to pursue.
And Sean, what is the proper role of the Attorney General to you? What are the chief responsibilities of the job?
Represent the state agencies. The Attorney General is the top law officer for the state of Utah, top law enforcement officer. And so the role is to be one as an advisor and, like any other attorney, an advocate for the interests of the state and the citizens of the state.
So take me through your legal career in the private sector, starting from when you graduated from law school there at UC Berkeley.
Sure. And UC Berkeley, a lot of people, especially on the conservative side, question my choice in going to Berkeley. I tell them it was based purely on very sound conservative economic principles. The Ivy League schools were $35,000 just for tuition and yeah. Being a Cal resident, Berkeley was $1,100. So subsequent to graduating from Berkeley, I had clerked for Parsons, Bailey & Latimer for 2 years and accepted an offer to begin practicing with them full-time in 1997, and then spent my entire career there at Parsons, Bailey & Latimer, made partner, and was mentored by some of the best lawyers in the world, I think. These are my friends and mentors and partners that helped me gain a lot of experience in a number of different areas and taught me how to be a real courtroom lawyer and a real trial lawyer.
So you mentioned on your website, and I just mentioned that you were one of the youngest members of a minority group to make partner at such a big firm here in Utah. Was that a challenge, working in an environment where, you came from a different cultural background, or not really?
Not at my firm. It really wasn't. And I think others have made a bigger deal about that than I would. I'm very proud to represent a number of different minority communities. Mm-hmm. My heritage is very diverse that way. But when it comes to politics, for instance, I wouldn't want anybody voting for me because of that,
right,
or for that matter, voting against me. But it was not a challenge at my firm. I think there are still challenges to being an ethnic minority in the business world, but that's not something that I ever focused on. I always figured hard work and determination would outweigh any obstacles and disadvantages that I might face, and it's borne true. And I was given ample opportunities as a young lawyer to prove myself, and I did that and had great success.
This is Politics Up Close on KCBW. My guest is Sean Reyes, a Republican candidate for Utah Attorney General. Join us on the air at 801-355-TALK, 801-355-8255. Well, you do have an interesting cultural background. I'm curious if you could tell us a little bit about it and perhaps if it's, you know, shaped your values that you bring, you know, just to what you do or what you do in politics.
Sure. My mom was born and raised on the Big Island of Hawaii, so she's half Japanese, half Native Hawaiian. Her mom's Native Hawaiian. Her dad's second-generation Japanese. I grew up all of my summers going back to the Big Island and working on my grandparents, call it a farm/ranch. They have a lot of land and hard work. My friends thought that was pretty neat for me to go 3 months to Hawaii and figured it'd be a great vacation, but it was like a labor camp out there for youth. But taught me a lot of values that way, and hard work again, and in a rural area. That was from my mom's side. From my dad's side, he hails from the Philippines, came here legally to the United States as a young man in his late 20s. His uncle had been the president of the Philippines, Ramon Magsaysay, well-beloved, man of the people, Time Magazine man of the year. He was very close to my father. I say uncle, he was my grandfather's cousin, but my dad's godfather, so very, very close. But when he died tragically in a plane crash, and subsequently Ferdinand Marcos took power, my dad could see the eventual demise of the economy there and came to the United States in search of a better life.
And so, Sean, you know, part of the job of Utah Attorney General obviously involves, you know, the Utah Supreme Court, the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals. You have experience arguing before these bodies. Tell us a little bit about that and how you think it might help in this bid to be Attorney General.
You know, I think that's one of the reasons why a lot of the lawyers in the bar and judges and even a lot of business leaders have come to me encouraging me to run for this and then supporting me in my race, because they understand that those skills, being able to brief cases, being able to argue cases in federal courts throughout the country, in state court, in appellate courts, those are all key skills that an attorney general should have. And that's something that I bring to the table that, again, I think would serve the state very well. You know, challenges to the federal government, you need to have somebody who's been in the courtroom, who's been in the trenches, who's fought over and over and over again and won consistently throughout his career. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I attribute that, obviously, not just to myself and my own skills, but to the attorneys that surrounded me, who were mentoring me when I was a younger attorney and learning at their feet, so to speak, and then given the opportunity to shine on my own. Again, I have to give a lot of credit to those people. And so I bring that collective wisdom, if you will, judgment, experience to the office. And as Attorney General, I would have those skills, not only to do those things myself, but to understand how to mentor and teach younger lawyers and be a leader for them.
Now you work for a company called eTags here in Utah. You're in the tech industry. What do you do in that job? What does the company do?
The company owns the intellectual property for attaching digital media to things in the marketplace. So it's a technology and media company. And there was a proliferation in the last 2 years with the recession of infringement. And as general counsel, one of my roles is to supervise enforcement of our intellectual property. So I manage a number of local and national law firms pursuing cases. We've been a little more aggressive in the last year since I've come on in enforcement of our intellectual property.
This is Politics Up Close on KCBW. My guest is Republican Sean Reyes, a candidate for Utah Attorney General. Call in with your questions, 801-355-8255, 801-355-TALK. You can also send your tweets to us here at KCPW. So, Sean, you started a local organization called Fraud College. Tell me about how you got involved in that effort and what Fraud College does.
Fraud College is a grassroots initiative. It was founded by a partner of mine, Brent Baker, myself, and some others who were concerned about the prevalent fraud that was occurring here in Utah. Investment fraud, some call it affinity fraud, using relationships of trust to entice others into these scams and schemes. And it was a couple of years ago, and we decided that we would reach out and try to create an environment where we could educate people on how to avoid being victims themselves, and akin to Neighborhood Watch, then be able to go out and protect others in their neighborhood, their own friends and loved ones, and teach them the skills that that we gave them. And we decided to do it not only in the fora of bringing speakers to various destinations, and we're going to have one of these events coming up February 15th at the University of Utah from 8 to 12. So let your listeners know that they're all invited to come for free. We wanted to make it a free educational experience and then support it, again, not just with these live lectures, but with an online component where people could find out more information, they could ask questions of experts. And that was the sort of the seed for an idea that I have continued to work on. That the Economist magazine just reported on as well. It's one of a number that I have to combat fraud, and that's to create a fraud registry for convicted white-collar criminals, much like the sexual predator registry, so people could quickly and easily access the names of those before they invested their life savings with someone. And so that was the impetus for us. We wanted to do something to give back to the community. It was all pro bono work. I think we spent the year that we founded it probably several thousands of hours collectively in pro bono time putting that together. And the vision for us was to bring the private sector in to fund it so that there wasn't a burden on the taxpayers, to involve the regulators both from the state and federal level, and then most importantly to bring thought leaders and leaders within the community, whether they be civic, religious, or otherwise, and have them all come together and really address this issue as a group and shine the light on this plague that's really hurting our economy and hurting our reputation as a state.
And Sean, I remember there was a recent legislative hearing where, you know, the Attorney General's office talked about how they didn't have the funding to hire a white-collar crime, you know, specialist in the office. They used to have one, but then the legislature cut the budget, so they no longer have that. Do you think the state has done perhaps an inadequate job so far of going after these fraudsters, and would you do better?
I would do better. I think they've tried, and as far as the budget goes, it's always about priorities. So the money is there. It's just where you're going to put your emphasis. It's true. They haven't replaced one of their best prosecutors, and that's a shame. They've tried, but two things. When they've done it, they haven't put enough resources into going after the bad guys. And on the flip side, when they have done it, sometimes they've overzealously prosecuted some good businesses or attempted to prosecute them. And let me try to illustrate that better. I think if you aren't careful in your zeal to stamp out fraud, you can, I call it shake down some good corporate citizens. And I had firsthand experience representing some of those businesses. And in one case, our firm represented a gentleman who ultimately was exonerated, but because of the publicity brought just by an investigation, he still to this day, 5 years later, has not returned to be able to have the same type of business. His business that it took him decades to build up was ruined. So there's a lot of responsibility that comes with the power of prosecution, and that's something that I would emphasize over and over again as Attorney General. That said, I would be very aggressive in going after, in a very precise, respectful, professional way, those who are perpetrating fraud.
We have Paul calling from Salt Lake City. Paul, what's your question or comment for Sean Reyes this morning?
Well, Sean, I've heard a lot of great things about you, and I know that you have a great track record when it comes to fighting fraud in the country, or in the state of Utah specifically. What is your, and actually you just answered a lot of the question that I had in what your plans are to protect good businesses and to go after fraud. I know that at one time Utah was the number one fraud capital of the country, but I've been very impressed with your track record, and I'm excited to see you move forward in this race.
All right, Paul, thank you for the call.
Let me address a couple of things too, because he brought up a good point. Not only does the, and let me say this, Jeff, regulators estimate that anywhere between $1.5 billion, that's what they can prove is lost on an annual basis. That's $1.5 billion transferring out of the pockets of innocent victims within the state of Utah into these Ponzi schemes. Mm-hmm. But they estimate that it's probably far higher, multiples of that, so $1.5 to $5 billion. Our state budget is $12.9 billion. So if you can imagine, just within the market of Utah internally, how much money is being kept out of productive businesses because of fraud. The other aspect is hundreds of millions of dollars are not coming into the state of Utah on an annual basis from externally, from outside sources that would otherwise invest in the state. And I've talked to a number of businessmen who've said, except for that stain of fraud, everything else, I mean, all the other economic indicators are fantastic in Utah. So while Utah has a lot to offer economically, that's one thing, and it's a large elephant that I think hasn't been addressed enough and would be my priority on the criminal side as Attorney General.
And Sean, we needed to take a break in just a moment here, but one more question before we do that. The incumbent, Mark Shurtleff, whether these criticisms are fair or unfair, has been accused in the past of, you know, not going after, for example, people who give him campaign contributions or being too cozy with, you know, certain people. In the Attorney General's role, do you think you would be pretty aggressive in going after, you know, anybody committing fraud or committing crime, regardless of whether it's somebody who's donated to your campaign or who you've had a relationship with in the past?
Absolutely. Anybody who's even on our list of endorsers knows. And frankly, I've told them that. Not that I suspect that any of them would ever be in that position,
right.
But I wanted them to know straight up that if they were giving me a campaign donation, that's not insurance against prosecution at all. And of course, they all understand that, but I thought it was important to underscore that. Mm-hmm. And I think, I don't know the details of those cases, so I don't want to speculate, but it was apparently there was enough evidence in several cases that the Attorney General's office might have pursued action and did not. I think that undermines the confidence of the public in that office. And again, that on one side, and then coupled with, again, shaking down good businesses is something that I think we can do a lot better job of. And as Utah's next Attorney General, I will be aggressive, but at the same time exercise great restraint in the prosecution and make sure that our prosecutors understand that they're still the lawyers for the people and that they need to have that perspective.
This is Politics Up Close on KCBW. I'm speaking with Sean Reyes, a Republican candidate for Utah Attorney General. We're going to take a short break and be right back here on Politics Up Close. You're listening to Politics Up Close here on KCBW. I'm Jeff Robinson. My guest is Sean Reyes, a Republican candidate for Attorney General of Utah running in the 2012 election. We welcome your questions and comments on the phone this morning. Our phone number is 801-355-TALK, and that's 801-355-8255. Sean, your Republican opponent in this race, Chief Deputy Attorney General John Swallow, has been involved in the state's efforts to sue the federal government to regain control of public lands, and he's made this a major part of his campaign platform. We discussed it when I had him on the show a few weeks ago. Is that something you would support, or do you perhaps agree with some of his critics that Utah is wasting too much time and money on these types of lawsuits?
No, I would agree that the public lands issue is an important issue for the state of Utah. Mm-hmm. And I think that it falls in line with other federal programs that are overreaching. And I do think that the state needs to exert some control, local control, back over education, over things like health care and public lands. So I don't think we're too far away from each other when it comes to public lands issues, and I would make that a priority as well of my office to on the civil side to make sure that there's a balance mm-hmm. between preserving the beauty that we have here, one of the treasures of our state, but at the same time looking at very, very responsible ways to develop the energy that we have to help us become more self-sufficient from an energy standpoint. And also, there's another issue as well. It's not only the close to 70% of lands that are controlled by the federal government that we don't have access to as a state. It's also our own, the lands that we do have control over, the SITLA lands for our public education, are being blocked off in many cases by federal lands. And so we're precluded from even reaping the benefits of what was intended to be, you know, the source for our education, our public education here in the state of Utah. So I do think those are very important issues. I wanted to go back more and talk about, again, just the qualifications, because as we've gone up and down the state, and I have to say I've just been overwhelmed by the support that we've had from people from a number of different communities, whether it's city or rural, whether it's business or the legal community. And what they keep telling me is, Sean, we want somebody who's an experienced lawyer, not a politician, not a lobbyist, somebody who has done law. And that's what I've done my entire career. In 2005, I was the Utah Young Lawyer of the Year. In 2008, the American Bar Association recognized me as the outstanding, the top young lawyer for the United States. And that was based on the types of cases I was doing and my skill, leadership qualities, service to the community and to the bar, and some other factors. And so that was a great honor, but I think it underscores not only my background and the skills that I would bring to the office, but the mindset of excellence. At my law firm, we did everything. You either did it well or you didn't do it at all. And that's something that I want to bring to the Attorney General's office. I think the morale is a bit low there. A number of their attorneys have approached me, some who are there currently and some who've left, and they've lost a lot of really talented lawyers. Now, let me be clear. There's very talented lawyers still there at the AG's office, but I want to make sure that they stay. And I want to create an environment there of excellence and an excitement about the law. I want the AG's office to be something that the legal community can be proud of and that the state can be proud of. And I've got a number of initiatives, both internally for training and mentoring, things that I think that they haven't paid enough attention to boost morale. Because certainly they're not there, many of the lawyers, for the pay. They're great public servants. And that's another aspect. People have told me, we want a public servant, not a politician. We want somebody who's there to get the job done. It's like a firefighter. Doesn't matter if your house is burning down, if they're a Democrat or a Republican or what their policies are. You just want them to do a good job and get it done. So while I'm extremely proud of my conservative values and principles, I think the Attorney General's role is to get the job done, do the best job to represent the state, and that's the mindset that I'm going to bring. Furthermore, at my firm, you know, we had an ethos. I've kind of coined this, but it embodies what I was taught from the very first day I was a clerk, and that is, I would rather lose doing it the right way than win doing it the wrong way. But we were going to win doing it the right way, and that's what we did. We won over and over and over again, and it speaks to the integrity, the process, and it speaks to the credibility that our firm had when we stepped into a courtroom. Judges automatically knew that we were well prepared, that we wouldn't take liberties with the facts, that we would be zealous advocates, but that we would always be professionals. And I want to bring that. Now, I think there are definitely certain lawyers who have that credibility, but judges have come and talked to me and they said, you know, we need to restore that back to the office of the Attorney General, and you're the man to do it. And I've appreciated that encouragement, and I'm flattered by their confidence in me, you know, personally and also professionally.
And so what really sets you apart, Sean, from your opponent in this race, John Swallow, Chief Deputy AG? You mentioned you seem to agree on the public lands issue. Is this race kind of about the, you know, young up-and-coming attorney versus the, you know, guy who's run for Congress several times? I mean, what's the difference between you two?
Yeah, I think the difference, going back again, and the reason why so many people from the legal community and the business community have rallied to support me, is that I'm a career lawyer. That's what I've spent my entire practice doing, honing my craft, learning from the best, and excelling at it. And that is what I bring. I haven't been a part-time lawyer. I haven't done lobbying. Nothing wrong with those things, lobbying, serving in the legislature. I think all those things are laudable. But for the office of Attorney General, I don't think those are the qualities or the skills that prepare one the best. I think substantive practice in the law on large cases, and I have to say, some of these cases were blockbuster cases. The Sir Alan Stanford case, a $9 billion case, the second largest to the Madoff case as far as embezzlement goes. The Yellowstone Club case in a bankruptcy where our trial team represented the unsecured creditors, the little mom-and-pop shops that in that gigantic morass of excess were going to get nothing back. And instead, we took on the corporate giant Credit Suisse and got the judge in an unprecedented move to subordinate $200-plus million of their first-party liens so that our clients would be able to have keep their businesses going. I mean, I've taken on the biggest, I've managed large cases, and I've also managed small cases. So I understand pro bono cases with people just trying to, refugees, just trying to move the process along. You know, ladies, old ladies trying to get their lights turned back on. So I've done everything that there is to do, I think, within the law, and that is the type of experience not only that's important to represent clients in the courtroom, but to instill confidence from a leadership standpoint in the other lawyers in the office. When they look to that person, they want to see a tried and true substantive lawyer who is dedicated to the practice of law.
And Sean, we want to go back to the phones. 801-355-TALK, 801-355-8255 is the number to join. Sean Reyes, Utah Attorney General candidate on the air. And Noel is calling from Ogden. What's your question or comment for Sean Reyes?
Yeah, thanks. I wanted to ask Sean about the trend for the state of Utah to be involved in competition with the private sector and state-owned enterprises, and ask him if he thinks those are constitutional and what position he would take in terms of the state actually competing with the private sector and enterprises. I mean, there's people that don't know they compete with insurance companies, credit unions, construction jobs. I mean, there's just a lot of them, a lot of retail stores. And I just want Sean's comments on that.
Interesting question, Noel. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Noel. I don't believe the government should be competing with the private sector. I think the role of government should be extremely limited at a federal level, certainly, but even at a state level, too. I think government, you know, the moral justification for government, I like to say, is to create an environment where citizens can enjoy their unalienable rights of life, liberty, ownership of property in the pursuit of happiness. And so, just as a general course, I don't think it's proper for government to be competing with the private sector. And speaking of constitutional issues as well, I don't know how much time we have left, but one of the things you asked me earlier about distinguishing myself from General Shurtleff, there is a constitutional issue that I wanted to raise. Something called an administrative subpoena. And then the reason it's on my mind, because I spoke to a group last night who were asking me about it, a group of delegates. And this is a state version of a device from the Patriot Act, which allows law enforcement officials, instead of getting a subpoena through a court order with the judge signing off, the attorney general can, or chief deputy can send one of these out, an administrative subpoena, to obtain information from a citizen.
And we've seen that with internet service providers, I believe, in the legislature the past couple of years.
That's exactly right. And our current attorney general was very active and involved and public about his support for these. And the rationale at the time was we would use these in rare circumstances, maybe if in an Amber Alert situation, if someone was fleeing the state and we needed to get information. But of course, now that the law is passed, they use these very frequently and bypass the constitutional safeguards of the Fourth Amendment. It's not that the judges won't issue these, and it's not hard to get one of these. And so these are the types of things I think a lot of the citizens don't even understand. Is that we complain about the federal government often, but our as a state government, sometimes we also, pass unconstitutional laws. Now, I can't repeal that as Attorney General, but what I can do is not allow my office to use those. And I'm not saying that they're in a situation, as I described before, if somebody's fleeing the state with abducting a child, and there may be a justification to use one of those in a rare instance, but not like they're used now commonly. And because the door was open for that, I think it set a bad precedent. And so that's another distinction, I think, I would draw between myself and the current administration.
Sean, one issue that the incumbent, Mark Shurtleff, has been involved in heavily is immigration, to the chagrin of many within the Republican Party. For example, he supported the Utah Compact, which advocates keeping families together regardless of legal status. He supports in-state tuition for undocumented immigrants. Do you have a similar position to him on immigration, or are you totally different? What do you think of his involvement in these issues, and has he gone too far as a Republican?
Well, I think Mark has been extremely vocal, General Shurtleff, about these issues and other issues, too. I don't think it's really the role of the Attorney General to play such an active public role. I think the Attorney General, if he or she is doing their job correctly, probably people don't hear from them that much. You know, they do their business, they get the job done quietly, quickly, efficiently, and effectively. Now, that said, I think the Attorney General has an opportunity to bring to light some very important public issues like fraud, and they can leverage their position to galvanize the community and be a beacon to bring together various different parts of the community. As far as immigration, my position on immigration is, for instance, HB 116, I think, is an unconstitutional law. I think the state ought to leave those types of solutions to the federal government. Now, there are a couple of parts of 116 I think you could export to a federal solution, and there are other parts that I think could be even more stringent, mandatory English requirements. I think that's important to be productive and have citizens who are going to be participating in the community to learn English. I believe the state is being sued right now for HB 497.
Right.
And I think that is a constitutional exercise of the state power to be able to run background checks on felons and others who are arrested. And so I think that I'm strong on the immigration issue as far as, being someone who loves the community, who encourages legal immigration, but who is also somebody who's going to enforce the rule of law. Identity theft also is another issue that Mark has expressed, General Shurtleff has expressed his hesitance to pursue. I think identity theft of any sort, whether it's from someone who's illegal or not illegal, is a serious, serious issue, and I think it's cost the state a lot of money, and it would be something that I would pursue aggressively.
Speaking to, learning English, in West Valley City, for example, there's a voluntary initiative encouraging people to learn English. But you think there should be mandatory requirements? Don't you have concerns some would find that to, be an intrusion as well?
I don't. If someone's going to be a citizen of the United States, then I think that's not an unfair or unconstitutional requirement. I would know about volunteer English language programs. I oversaw a program in combination with the LDS Church and other partners that taught over 50,000 people, immigrants from a number of different countries, English as a second language. And I managed that for several years and had a number of CEOs reporting to me. And even though I was young, we did it efficiently again and effectively. And because I set out I was very fair. We were able to accomplish a lot. My point there, though, is I understand that I saw the benefits of what happened when they learned English and the improvements to how much more productive they could be, how much more integrated they felt. And I think it's an important part of being a citizen.
Sean, we have just about 2 minutes left here. Do you expect this to be a pretty tough fight within the GOP for the nomination here between you and John Swallow? And if I were a delegate and you were making your pitch to me about why we should choose you over him, what would you say?
Yeah, I think it'll be a very competitive race, no doubt about it. On both sides, we've both raised a lot of money. I've been up and down the state now for a year, like I said. And what I've told the delegates again is what I've mentioned before. If you feel that the skills that my opponent has through lobbying and through politics are the most important for the job, then you ought to vote for him. if you think that what we need for the Attorney General is a career lawyer who's focused on that his entire career, who's made some investments in the business community but understands the needs of small business persons, and who has done politics at a grassroots level. You know, I've been a county, state, national delegate, walked precincts. I've done it all from the grassroots level. I will be a public servant, and that's my pitch, and it's been well received by the delegates.
We've been speaking with Sean Reyes. He is a Republican candidate for Attorney General of Utah. Well, Sean, we're out of time, unfortunately, but thank you very much for joining us here on Politics Up Close.
Thank you so much, Jeff.
I'm Jeff Robinson. We'll be right back.